here at a critical moment.
Hello, I'm Dan Brown.
And I'm Brandi Crawford Eryu.
We are your TV BFFs, and this is a podcast about the TV shows that people love most. And today, Brandi, long awaited, We are finally going to update our own TV BFF criteria, update our own best, favorite, and forever shows.
Because there's been some changes, guys.
There's been some changes.
I'm still torn about what I'm going to do. Get ready to, because you're going on a journey with us today.
Yeah. You're going to be like riding shotgun, like as we're making these decisions. I'm looking at my best right now and I have to pick between three shows. I don't know what to do, but I'm going to have to figure it out.
Yeah.
But before we do that, so the reason we're updating, we somewhat adjusted the criteria. We loosened things up a little bit this season. Last season we went through in our very first episode, Brandi, we thought we were going to do our criteria updates, and then we had so many almost shows that was a whole episode. So we did an almost show episode and then we did a two-part revealing our criteria. But if you remember at the time, the rules were a little bit more strict. Now, this season, we changed a little bit. So what we generally do is we ask our guests to pick six shows, six of their top TV shows of all time, two in each of the three BFF categories, those being their best, favorite, and forever. We have them choose from dramas, comedies, and unscripted. And generally, we say you can only double up a genre in one of the three categories, right?
Yes.
But we made our criteria before we changed that rule. So now we have a little bit more flexibility we can play with. We've been talking about way more shows. We've watched more shows. It's time to update. We always say it's not a set in stone list. It's flexible. It changes as your TV watching habits change and as you watch more shows. So,
yeah. And, I have to say that I was pretty confident in my criteria, but some change is going to come, as they say.
And the other thing too, Brandi, is I kind of wanted to tighten my list up. Like looking back, at our database here, and our almost shows episode, I think I listed like 10 almost shows before I even got to the criteria. And I'm just like, some of these made sense at the time, but looking back, I'm like, I don't know if this is fully representative or if all of these still rise to the bar that I think we've now kind of created as we talk with more people and create more of these lists. I feel like things tighten up a little bit, or at least that's kind of what I'm aiming to do. So what about you though? How are you going about rebuilding or kind of reshuffling your almost shows, your best, your favorites, your forevers?
The only changes that I'm really going to be making is there's definitely going to be a made change to my best shows. And I think that there's going to be a change made to my forever shows.
Okay.
My favorites are staying the same.
Those are two pretty significant changes. I have some shifting as well. I have a couple shows changing position. I have at least one show dropping out and a new one being added. But before we do that, let's kind of review what we had on our list before. So why don't you go first? What were your almost shows?
My almost shows were Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, Bar Rescue, The Real Housewives, all of them, Chopped, Kids Baking Championship, 30 Rock, The Comeback, Black Mirror, Law & Order SVU, and Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. I still stand beside and behind all of these choices as almost shows.
Okay.
But I will say that there's one of them that may move into the forever slot. But
okay.
It also might not, because our new rule is awesome in that it gives you kind of the latitude to really go for it and choose two comedies or choose two dramas or choose two reality shows.
Sure.
But also being only able to do that in one category makes it really tough, because I feel like I really need to do that in my best category. And I think that I'm going to do it, but there is a forever show that I have that I just, when I picked it as a forever show, it was a suspect.
Okay.
And it's just gotten even more suspect as time has gone on. And now I'm really kind of grappling with the fact of would I want to watch this forever? But what I would want to replace it with, I don't know if I can, if I'm already making the choice to have two of the same thing in my best.
We're putting ourselves through the same ringer that we put our guests through. And I think that's important. We got to be held accountable, just like we hold our guests accountable. But you're right. It's not easy. I've been staring at this list for the last week. I don't know what I want to do. I don't know where that should go. To give you a little taste. So my original almost shows were some heavy hitters in here. I was kind of surprised looking back on it, but my OG almost were Game of Thrones, The Crown, Schitt's Creek, Friends, ESPN's 30 for 30, Saturday Night Live, Battlestar Galactica, Peaky Blinders, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and Ted Lasso.
Solid list right there.
Solid list. I am going to chop it down, though. My own internal rule that I made for myself is, all right, if I can only get 6 shows on the criteria, I'm going to try and limit my almost shows to 6 as well. So some of the almost shows that will not be moving on with us are Ted Lasso is going to get dropped.
Okay.
Great show. Needs more time. Mm-hmm. Battlestar Galactica is going to get dropped. That was one where I don't think about it as much as I used to. So it doesn't feel as critical, as crucial in like my TV history as it once did. 30 for 30 is going away. Schitt's Creek and Friends, both great comedies, but it's hard for me to really stick a ton of comedies on my list. I really skew a little bit more dramatic. And then this one was really tough, but Peaky Blinders is off the list as well. And that was really tough. I mentioned I recently spent some time in London, in England earlier this year, and I went to a Peaky Blinders like immersive kind of interactive
cosplay show.
Kind of like it was like Sleep No More, but in the Peaky Blinders world.
Okay.
Which I fucking loved, and it got me back into the show, and I watched the first 2 scenes and I was loving it, and then I just fell off. And I'm like, if I can have that experience, get back into a show and still fall off, I don't know if it belongs on a list. So
okay. Yeah, I don't know if I could ax anything on my list, because like they could all, I could see a world where every show that I mentioned as an almost show could be in my criteria. Like I honestly love all of them.
Yeah. So yeah, so my almost shows now, as it stands, Game of Thrones is still in as an almost, The Crown is still in as an almost. It's Always Sunny is still in as an almost, and in fact, almost made the jump. It's Always Sunny was very, very close. I've been listening to their podcast a lot, and it's really made me kind of fall back in love with those guys and those characters. That was close, but it's not quite there. The West Wing has fallen off the criteria and is now an almost show.
What?
So that is an open spot that will need to be filled. The West Wing is no longer on the criteria.
Okay.
Do you want to dive in? I feel like you kind of teed up your struggle in your best category, then I'm going to have one as well. But why don't you go first? First, let's start with this. What's your current criteria? And then we'll see how it changes.
All right. So my current criteria, my best shows are Broad City and X-Files. My favorite shows are The Challenge and Arrested Development. And my forever shows are House Hunters and Chappelle's Show.
I mean, I got to say, still tracks.
No, it's honestly a great criteria. I'm proud of it. and I have to say that like my favorites are still Forever and Always. Like, I mean, honestly, Arrested Development could also be a forever show, but like it's a favorite. Like I love that show. It's been with me through a lot of pivotal moments in my life. And then obviously The Challenge. But in my best category, you know, I chose Broad City and I chose X-Files.
Yeah. And I remember the time you were debating between Broad City and Curb for that comedy slot, right?
I was. And which is funny since Curb didn't make it onto my almost list.
I feel like it's kind of like baked in. If it's being debated for a slot, it just kind of gets baked in, right?
But now what I think that I want to do is, although I still do think that X-Files is one of the best shows I've ever seen, mm-hmm. I would like to replace it with another show that I feel is hands down possibly the best show I've ever seen.
Wow. Okay.
And that is Insecure.
Let's go.
Yeah, I feel like it was a perfect, it was 5 seasons.
Yeah. And was the 5th season completed when we recorded originally? I don't think it was.
I don't think it was.
Yeah.
Because the 5th season didn't get completed for me for a while because like I sat on those last 3 or 4 episodes for a few months because like I didn't want it to end. But it's a perfect show. It was just a perfect show from beginning to end. It was perfectly cast, great writing, amazing, like just amazing look. Just like the production value was out of control.
Yeah.
Like I felt like I'm in LA. Like I want to live in every single outfit, every single person wore. And the fact that it was a show that like was conceived of and made by a Black woman is just like, honestly, it's chef's kiss.
Chef's kiss.
Like I couldn't ask for anything more.
All I know is when I die, I'm coming back to haunt everybody.
What'd I do? Not enough. Where's the liquor?
Forget the liquor. Where are your shoes? Where's Cheyenne?
She robbed us.
What?
You lying.
What the fuck? She really robbed us?
I think she set us up.
Yo, did you see her face?
Yours, okay? You look like you were about to cry.
I was scared as shit. I thought I was fucking dying.
Me too. But also, like, let me turn on and see if I
fly.
As fuck. I think that I have to move X-Files out. And I say that because Broad City is also just, I think it's one of the best comedies ever.
Yeah. A strong theme here. Two shows about the power and complications and celebrating female friendship.
Mm-hmm. Female friendships in the city.
In the city. East Coast, West Coast, black, white, straight, gay, all the above. Like, mm-hmm. That's a really tight pair.
And where they're depending on friends. Like, their friends are their families. Like,
yeah.
All of the women in the show. I mean, Molly's family was around and, like, Issa's brother was around. But, like, it wasn't about that.
No, it was chosen family.
Yeah. I don't know. I love that. I love friendships. I love friendship, guys.
Yeah.
I just love both these shows so much. And I think they're so good. And I think that also other theme made by women.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like that's another big reason why they're the best.
Right. Can't be understated.
Yeah.
I love it because, you know, as a guy, it opens my world a little bit more too. Like, the intricacies of female friendship and the quirks of it and how it is different and the same in a lot of ways, right? I think mm-hmm. it's important to be able to, you know, watch things that aren't your own specific lived experience to expand your horizons, you know?
Yeah. Insecure is moving into my criteria. I feel it deserves a place. It has earned its spot. I feel really good about it.
Okay. All right. Now I need your help then to help me kind of talk through my best show's conundrum. So
let's do it.
Quick recap, my initial original criteria and best I have Breaking Bad, and that just edged out Better Call Saul, which also was not completed at the time we first recorded. I also had Top Chef in my best, and my favorites, we share a favorite in the challenge. Mm-hmm. I also had The West Wing, so that's the one that dropped out. That okay. will be replaced. I have an open slot in my faves. And then my forevers were Parks and Rec and Friday Night Lights.
Mm-hmm.
So my first point of order is what's going in my best, because Top Chef is moving.
Okay.
It's not falling off, but it's moving to a different category. So there's an open slot there. So I have a couple things to do. One, I need to reckon with, is it Breaking Bad or Better Call Saul? Because one of those two shows to me deserves to be on the list. I don't think I could put both. Better Call Saul has since completed its final season. It was excellent.
Mm-hmm.
It was better than I ever could have imagined. It did all of the things. Bob Odenkirk and Ray Seahorn absolutely killed it. It somehow became a prequel, but then also kind of a mini sequel. I don't want to spoil anything if you haven't caught up on Better Call Saul, but like the last handful of episodes kind of go past the Breaking Bad timeline and really kind of jumps into that Gene Takovic Omaha kind of future that had been teased throughout the series. And I thought that was really, really well done, really effectively done. Made me appreciate Breaking Bad more. And I think that's actually, I've been thinking about this a lot, like probably more than I should, but that said, as much as I loved Better Call Saul, and as much as I think it should win so many awards for that final stretch of episodes, I don't think it quite eclipsed Breaking Bad still.
No, I feel like, honestly, that you were like answering your own question when you said that it made you appreciate Breaking Bad more.
Right, because exactly.
Honestly, yeah. you can have Breaking Bad. You can't have Better Call Saul without Breaking Bad. Better Call Saul is not going to hit the way that it hits without the institutional knowledge.
Yeah, exactly.
Of Breaking Bad.
Yeah. And honestly, since then, I've rewatched some Breaking Bad moments. Granted, some of them were for this very podcast, seeking out clips. But we've also talked about it a lot. And I think that also has helped, you know, kind of deepen my appreciation for it, you know, because it had been a while, you know, since we initially talked about it. So Better Call Saul, as much as I love you, you are firmly planted as an almost show. You know, you're not going anywhere. And who knows, upon a rewatch, maybe things will change. I still haven't rewatched that final season of Better Call Saul. So you never know. But where it stands right now, I think Breaking Bad is still slightly just edges it out.
I am interested in a Better Call Saul binge watch, like what it's like to kind of just see it all at once. Because when you think about those seasons that felt like so slow, if you're going from one episode to the other, like with the nursing home and stuff, like,
yeah.
I just wonder what that vibe is like.
Yeah. I feel like it's been done by now is like that actual like timeline of, okay, Better Call Saul and then Breaking Bad. But then as you get here, you do this Saul and then that Breaking Bad and then this and then that. Like, I would like to watch like the full Gilligan universe, you know, and kind of see how it all plays together. And maybe that'll elicit a little bit deeper understanding. But yeah, I think Breaking Bad's got to stay on the list for me.
Yeah.
My second slot is, here's where it gets tricky.
Okay.
So what I've done here, so I made some changes to my Forever. I should probably talk about these both at the same time. So Top Chef got bumped out of Best, and that's because I moved it down to my Forever.
Okay. Oh.
I think Top Chef is now a Forever show for me, and I'll explain a little bit more why when we get to our Forever. So, but that's kind of where it's slotted in for now. So that leaves me with an open slot, which means one of my Forever shows had to be bumped out, so I chose to move Parks and Rec. I think Parks and Rec is in the running as my best comedy of all time. I don't think I've ever laughed harder at a show more consistently. It always hits. I could turn it on at any time.
Mm-hmm.
And for that reason, it was in my Forevers for a while, but I think it can stand on its own as a best, as my best comedy of all time. But then, Brandy, I watched a little show called The Sopranos for the first time.
Mm.
And I'm really fucking torn about where to put Tony and the Boys.
Okay.
The problem is this. I've only seen it through once, but I think about it all the time. So it's kind of like Breaking Bad, Sopranos, Parks and Rec are all kind of like vying for two of these slots. This is happening in the moment. Does Sopranos take it over Breaking Bad? I don't think it does for me. Not yet. That might sound blasphemous for some. Give me another rewatch of The Sopranos and I'll check back in, because I think that with another watch, it might eclipse Breaking Bad, to be quite honest.
So you wouldn't just put, you wouldn't double up in your best.
I thought about
two dramas.
I thought hard about that, but I think that it would hurt my heart more to see Parks and Rec drop off of this list.
Okay.
And drop to an almost show. I think that would make me too sad. I don't think I could let that happen.
Parks and Rec couldn't be a favorite show?
I have other things that need to go there, and we'll get to that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
A lot has changed, Brandy. A lot has shifted.
It sounds like it.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. I'm making the executive decision right now. Sopranos is dropping to an almost show. We'll check back in this time next year. We'll see after a rewatch if it jumps up, if Breaking Bad falls off. But as it stands, my best category is Breaking Bad and Parks and Rec. Your favorites, again, they're not changing, but remind us, what are your favorites?
My favorites are not changing. My favorites are The Challenge and Arrested Development.
Let's talk about The Challenge, because The Challenge is staying on mine as well. It's staying as a favorite. It was in danger of dropping off, though, because I just thought that Spies, Lies, and Allies season was really not good at all and really left a bad taste in my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And All Stars was fine. And then The Challenge USA on CBS, I also really didn't love. Very forgettable. And then Ride or Dies premieres. And I feel like all has been righted in the world of The Challenge, at least for me. I think it started a little slow, but it's really kind of morphed into a really solid, best we've had in a while season of The Challenge. It's still ongoing as we record right now, but Ride or Dies got me back in.
I've really been enjoying it. I'm not completely caught up on the current season, which is great because I love having just a few in the hopper because they're so much fun to watch. And for me, The Challenge, it's not so much about the newer seasons, because what I've come to realize is that, like, it's going to be really hard for me to get invested in the new people. And I think that what they realized in Spies, Lies, and Allies is that it was too many. It's too many new people. And it's like, this is a show that's, we're coming into this because we want to see these relationships between the people that we know play out. Like, these are the dynamics that we like. It's hard to learn new dynamics because guess what? You can't have a bear or a Georgia on every, you know, like you can't, like that's lightning in a bottle. You can get that, but you got to have some vets on there.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I think they did it right this season, even though does this season make any sense to me? Like, what are the Ride or Dies?
I mean, a very loose definition of Ride or Dies. Like,
I was just like, okay, guys, throw out a phrase.
Yeah. But I think to your point, you're right. Like, and others have brought this up, and I think it is true. Like, it is crucial to keep new blood coming in because at a certain point, our favorites just, they cycle out, you know, they get relegated to All Stars or whatever the case may be. maybe not relegated. That's not the right word. That's a different show. It's its own thing. And I do love it.
But it's also, it's like, do you want to see a 45-year-old hanging out with a 20-year-old? Like, that's a vibe, you know? Like,
right. Yeah.
So it's like, you do need to keeping it fresh. But like, there's a magic number, I think, of like new people to old people.
Yeah. And I think the ride or dies format, just to put a button on it, I think it was effective, however loose the definition of ride or die actually is. It allowed, it almost had kind of like a fresh meat feel where like, oh, yeah, a newbie is paired with a veteran who we know. So even if I'm not up to speed on who this rookie is,
I know their partner.
Someone I know is vouching for them.
Yeah.
Or someone that I know is vouching for them that I hate. So I'm also instantly not going to like them as much, or whatever the case may be. So it kind of gives you a shortcut to figuring out who's going to work for you, who's going to gel. And now it's at the point where, and there was just a big format twist, Brandy, I won't spoil it for you, but like, these format producers are back on their bullshit and I'm enjoying it. It's pretty good shit.
Okay, good.
Okay. Your second favorite was Arrested Development we spoke about. So this is my other open slot is about to be filled. New show added to the criteria. Wasn't on an almost list. I missed it entirely the first time around. And then towards the end of last season, this time last year, actually, we had someone come on and adjust their criteria. John Thrasher came on because he broke the rules and he had to adjust. And he added a new show. And as soon as he said it, I'm like, oh, I fucked up. This should have been in the mix. It should have been an almost show. And then since then, a new season premiered this year. And it absolutely, by far and away, was the show I was the most obsessed with, I think, all year. I rewatched the season like 3 times. And that show is Stranger Things.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Stranger Things is my new favorite show added to the criteria.
Okay.
The reason I think, one, I kind of had a blind eye towards it the first time around is because the most recent season when we recorded was a season 3, and that was my least favorite of all the seasons.
Mm-hmm. Mine too.
And then season 4 comes out, and season 4, Brandy, just fucking blows me away. It absolutely explodes my brain. It took all of the things I was unsure about in previous seasons and really contextualized them behind the Vecna of it all. And this is, you know, we're entering spoiler territory here for Stranger Things. I won't get too deep, but like, this character Vecna kind of comes in as this big bad and really kind of reframes everything that we saw before. It kind of shows you how it's all connected, how the interplay with Eleven, why that's important, how that started, why they are connected, Vecna and Eleven. It just did a really good job of fleshing out this story as it leads towards its final stretch here. So this next season, season 5, will be the final season, and I feel like we're in good hands. We mentioned this a little bit on our recent episode with Ellie and Brawley, but this season 4 really hit me in the face and was like, made me like really stand up to attention, be like, this show deserves some consideration. And in fact, it is. When it's on, it is my favorite show, hands down.
I really think that what this season showed to me, at least, is that the creators behind this show have a vision and they know where the show is going.
Yeah.
And that they have indeed been setting everything up all along. Yeah. Whereas sometimes in season 3, it just kind of felt like, what are we even watching? Like,
what doing even here? Is this?
Yeah. Like, you're in Russia? What? Right. Like, this is making no sense to me. I also feel like this season did everything that like you wouldn't normally think that a show would do. It's like, oh, these last 3 episodes are 2 hours.
They're fucking movies. Yeah. And I loved it.
They're actual movies. And it worked, and it still felt like I was watching an episode of TV.
Yeah. And also too, they split the season, but they gave us a break in the middle, which I don't know when the last time Netflix has done something like this, especially with the Stranger Things. It kind of was one of the shows that cemented, like, it drops on July 4th weekend and you talk about it for a week, you all binge it in a week, and then it kind of falls away. Whereas this season, they did the 7 and then there was a month in between. That's where I did all my rewatching and the theorizing and listening to podcasts and talking to people in the office. And like that, I think, also really raised it in my estimation and gave it that favorite type of feel that I need for that sort of show where I need to feel like I'm part of a show's community, I think, for it to really hit a favorite. And I think that's kind of where The West Wing, as much as I love it and as good as I think it is and as much kind of warm feelings it gives me, it doesn't have as much of those favorite vibes as Stranger Things does for me. And for that reason, it gets the slot.
So you know what? Keep on growing up, kid. Don't let me stop you. Make mistakes. Learn from them. And when life hurts you, because it will, remember the hurt. The hurt is good. It means you're out of that cave. But please, if you don't mind, for the sake of your poor old dad, keep the door open 3 inches.
Brandy, you have some forever mixing up going on.
Yeah, so my forever shows right now are House Hunters and Chappelle's Show. When I picked Chappelle's Show as a forever, it was, you know, it was a unique choice. There's, I think, 3 seasons of the show total. I think, what, like, is it like 26 episodes?
Something. I don't have it in front of me, but like no more than 30, I would say, yeah.
Which is it's a bold choice for a forever pick. But, you know, we also have, you know, our twist with the forever shows is that you can watch them all as if you haven't seen, it's like you're watching it from scratch again, and I can't.
And we kind of dropped that twist. I'm sorry, I just interrupted you. But we kind of dropped that twist. It hasn't come up in conversation much this season, but like for this conversation, the twist is in effect, yes?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, good.
And I feel like for me to be able to watch Chappelle's Show like I've never seen it before forever is, I can't think of anything better than that.
Yeah, that's fun as like, hell.
Do you know
great.
What I mean? Like,
that
it's
is
amazing.
A party in the afterlife. That's great.
But like, I am not, and you know, we don't even have to get into like a whole conversation about cancel culture, because like I don't really believe in cancel culture so much as believe in like, if you don't want to listen to something, then don't.
Just fucking don't. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just like, if I don't want to watch it, then I won't watch it. But like, if other people do want to watch it, like they can.
Yeah. I mean, listen, Chappelle's still selling out stadiums.
Yeah. Like, he's fine. But I was like, is that what I want to be watching forever, though? Like, even if I know that I'm going to be laughing and that it's so funny and like, I do think he's so brilliant. This is my forever I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You know, like, what else would I want to do? But my issue is that all of the other things that I would put in that category are reality shows.
And you've already doubled.
And I've already doubled
your best
up
with two comedies.
Best. And so I've really been going through and trying to figure out what other show it's going to be a comedy. I'm not doing a drama in my forever. Sorry, everyone.
I think I have an idea looking at your almost shows and what might get promoted.
There's 3 options. One of the options actually didn't end up on my almost list. And it's funny that it ended up on my almost list because like, it's a show that like I will watch if it's on, and I've seen every episode multiple times, and that show is Seinfeld.
Oh, that's the first time you've ever mentioned Seinfeld, I think.
I know. Like, because I feel like I forgot about it. Like, Seinfeld was like an integral part of my life from like, I don't know, until I was like 19 or 20 years old. I kind of like fell off of it just because like Seinfeld didn't start coming on all the time again until like, I think within the past maybe like decade.
Sure. Yeah. Like,
you know what I mean?
Like heavy like, syndication.
Like, yeah. So like that's in the mix. 30 Rock is in the mix.
That's where my head went. I'm like, if I know Brandy, because we've talked, 30 Rock comes up a lot, and every time it does, your face lights up. So I'm like, it might be 30 Rock. I don't know.
I love 30 Rock. But then the other show that like I really like in my heart is my forever show that would be alongside House Hunters, but like I can't do it because we have these rules.
Right.
Is Chopped.
Oh, fuck.
Like, Chopped is a forever show. Like, I watch Chopped just as much as I watch House Hunters.
I mean, what are you going to do?
I think I'm putting 30 Rock in there.
Yes. Okay.
I feel like that my criteria is so comedy heavy is like pretty indicative of who I am.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, X-Files did used to be on there. But my favorite X-Files episodes were the ones that were like a little kooky and quirky.
Right, right. Exactly. The weird ones. Okay, so we landed with your forever category is now.
Yeah, so my forever category now is House Hunters and 30 Rock. I would watch on a loop forever.
I think that's a great pick. If you have to take off Chappelle, Tina Fey is a great replacement.
Yeah.
This has been tough. Okay, I'll quickly kind of cap off my forevers because 2 shows that have stayed on the criteria just in slightly different locations. So Friday Night Lights will always be a forever show.
I mean, if it wasn't on there, I'd be like, where is Dan? What did you do with him?
I mean, I literally put on an episode the other day because there's a new podcast out with I'm blanking on the actors' names.
But Amy Teagarden?
No, Jason Street and Matt Saracen are hosting a Friday Night's podcast with Mae Whitman from Parenthood. And it's fun. It's good, but it made me like want to rewatch. And I turned on episode one, and then next thing you know, I'm watching episode two. And the next thing you know, I'm halfway through season one. So yeah, that's my forever show. Straight up.
Clear eyes, full hearts.
Get loose!
Let's get them!
You up for this?
Yes, sir.
Let me ask you one question. Last Friday night when you threw that pass, that winning pass, did you close your eyes?
No, sir. My eyes were open, sir. My eyes were wide open.
That's what I thought. Let's go play football. Come on.
And then my other one I mentioned previously, Top Chef moved from best to forever, especially with the twist, with the you get to watch one every time like it's the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Top Chef. I mean, yeah. Friday Night Lights, I love the nostalgia. I love being in that world. I wouldn't want that to be new and fresh every time. Like the appeal of that as a forever show is that I've seen it so many times and I love it so much. But Top Chef, that'd be so fun. It's a new adventure. It's a new competition. You're meeting these people and then they come back as all-stars and as judges. Mm-hmm. And then you get to wipe the slate clean and kind of do that all over again. Like that's
yeah, there and there. It's like it's nice, like self-contained seasons.
Yeah,
that you get to find out every, like you're seeing who the winner is anew every time.
Yeah, exactly. And I think
it's a surprise.
Something that really unlocked this for me, Elena Besser coming on and kind of talking about the shows that she chose, the Diners, Drive-Ins and Dives is a forever.
Mm-hmm.
The ability to experience food and cooking and that integral part of life in the afterlife through a TV show, I think it shouldn't be overlooked, or at least I don't want to overlook that. And I think that is another reason that it kind of slotted into a forever for me.
No, I think it's a great forever pick.
Wait, so Brandy, what's your twist? Which one are you watching for the first time every time?
Definitely 30 Rock.
30 Rock, right? Yeah.
Yeah. House Hunters is... I mean, even if I've seen it before, I still forget what house they picked. There's so many episodes of House Hunters. I go on Discovery Plus and just like randomly, it's like season 64, episode 102.
Right.
I literally just go through and just look at like, which city do I want to look at? It's like, oh, what does Iowa look like? Let's find out.
Yeah, let's find out. Exactly. All right. Quick recap. So my updated BFF criteria, my best shows are Breaking Bad and Parks and Recreation. My favorite shows are The Challenge and Stranger Things. And my forever shows are Top Chef and Friday Night Lights. Brandy, what's yours?
Awesome. So my best shows are Broad City and Insecure. Go Female Friendship. My favorite shows are The Challenge and Arrested Development. And my forever shows are House Hunters and now 30 Rock.
I love it. We always end our show with a lightning round.
Mm-hmm.
And this episode is no different. But for this, we're going to run back something that we did last season. So last season, our season finale, we did a season criteria draft. And the way we did it was I listed out all of the shows that our wonderful guests in season one had picked and placed on their criterias.
Mm-hmm.
And then I eliminated any of the shows that Brandy, you and I had also mentioned as an almost show, a criteria show in any sort of capacity on any of our own lists. So theoretically, these are all new shows to us that we have not picked on any criteria. And the idea is to try and draft the strongest criteria. So we did that last season. We each did like a full 6 show thing. I don't think we need to go that deep. Also, there's not quite as many as there were last season with some repeats here and there, of course. So what I think we do, Brandy, is let's do a mini BFF season 2 criteria draft.
Let's do it.
I'm putting in the chat right now all of the shows that are eligible. So that in alphabetical order, the shows that are eligible that were chosen by our wonderful guests for this mini BFF draft. 24, American Dad, Anthony Bourdain Parts Unknown, As Told by Ginger, The Bear, Big Brother, Big Little Lies, Charmed, The Chicago Firebed, PD Dick Wolf Universe. Shout out JW Crump on that one. Detroiters, The Facts of Life, Grace and Frankie, Jane the Virgin, Jem and the Holograms, The Kardashians, Kathy Griffin, My Life on the D-List, Killing Eve, The Last Dance, Living Single, Los Espookies, Lost, Louie, Lovecraft Country, Made in Mexico, Married to Medicine, Martin, Sort of, Taskmaster, the UK version, This Is Us, and finally, The White Lotus. Strong list here. Strong list. I think we need to like flip a coin to see who goes first, because I feel like we both have our eyes on one show here. I feel like there's an undisputed number one pick, especially if you take into account recency bias. Do you have a coin or something or anything that we can flip?
Dan, do I have a coin? No, I have.
Hold on. I think I got one. Okay. I've secured an actual quarter.
Wow.
I'm going to flip a quarter. Before I do that, do you want heads or tails?
Heads.
Heads. Okay, here we go. Tails never fails. That's heads. That is heads, ladies and gentlemen.
Wait,
Brandy,
so that means that, okay, cool.
You get the first pick. I will be utterly shocked if you don't pick the show that I'm anticipating, but let's see. Let's see where it goes.
Okay, so I get the first pick for best? Or can I just pick a show and then I say what I think, what I want it to be?
Yeah, I think you can pick one and then place it wherever you want.
Okay. I would like to put This Is Us in favorite.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God, Brandy. I was not expecting this, but I love it for you. I think that's great.
Yeah.
Well, in that case, I'm going to go ahead and take what I thought you were going to take as my best show, and I'm going to choose The White Lotus.
Oh yeah, no, that is, you're right. That's great.
And I'm thinking of it as both seasons one and two.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. It wasn't, yes, at the time, I think season one was definitely out. Season two was airing, but now it's fully completed and it's, you know, I think it's part of the whole package. So I'm going with White Lotus in my best.
Okay.
What do you got next?
I would say this is controversial.
Okay.
And I'm not married to it. For like, there's two things that I'm looking at that could be best.
Okay.
And one of them is Jane the Virgin. The other is Louie.
Oh, two different paths.
Very, very different paths. But like Louie really was like, it was a really brilliant show. It was so funny.
Truly. Yeah.
It was really, really well done. And if you're thinking like best, like, it was really good. But yeah. Jane the Virgin was, I feel, I just thought they did such a great job with the just the underlying premise of like making this telenovela crazy stuff layer on top of like a regular TV show, I guess. And
yeah,
I just thought they did such a great job of it.
And we should shout out. So Jane the Virgin was selected by Ellie Cano in a very recent episode. Your other pick, This Is Us, was that Amira? Amira Lawali picked
Amira
Lawali,
right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then my first pick, The White Lotus, was picked by Chris Burns. And then, what to do here? This list isn't as deep for me. There's not a ton of like dramas on here that I would generally be.
There's really not for you.
This is a very Brandy friendly list, I want to say. That said, I feel like the two shows, you know what? No. I know what I'm going to do. I am going to go with an underrepresented show, which is part of the reason I'm picking it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the shows I laughed the hardest at in recent memory, criminally underwatched and underrated. I'm picking as my favorite Detroiters, picked
Good
by
choice.
Anna Breton. That show is so funny. Mm-hmm. It's Tim Robinson. It's Sam Richardson. It was a Comedy Central show. It only went for two seasons. It's about two like mid, low tier local ad men in Detroit. And it is just laugh the fuck out loud funny. I had so much fun looking for clips for that episode. It just like launched it right back up in my estimation. Amber Ruffin has a cameo, a role in there. Like, it's just so fun, so funny, so goofy. If you've seen Tim Robinson's I Think You Should Leave sketch show, it's right online with that sort of humor. Really, really fun show. I didn't think I was going to pick it in this exercise, but like, it's like I'm looking at the list and that's just like in bold type. It's just like jumping out at me, you know?
All right. So I need a forever show.
We both need forevers.
Like, there's a lot of like obvious choices on here. I feel like Big Brother would probably be a good one.
Yeah.
But like, I just personally can't imagine myself watching that. Also, probably the Chicago universe.
Yeah,
probably be a good one.
I mean, there's a couple of good ones. I could see Living Single is a good one. I could see Facts of Life is a good one.
Martin could be good. Actually, you know what? I think I'm actually gonna go with. I think that this was Angela's Parts Unknown as a Forever.
Fuck, I should have chosen that sooner. That's really good.
Yeah.
That's really good. I should have picked that sooner because you would have left Detroiters on the board, right? You weren't going to pick that.
Yeah.
Fuck, I messed up there. Parts Unknown is a great Forever pick. Wow. Well done.
Because I'm just traveling.
I mean, you watch that show. Do you have like a favorite or an episode when you think of Bourdain that sticks out?
I love the Congo episode.
I've had something of a multi-decade obsession with the Congo. It's been kind of a personal dream, if you will, to travel the Congo River. And now, for better or worse, I get that chance. We've rented a trusty vessel, and I shall dub thee the Captain Willard. All right, did you maggots load the chickens?
I need to go back and like look at the, because I feel like I like that was a show that was like, I DVR'd it. I really, really liked it. And like before we ever went anywhere, we always looked to see what either the No Reservations episode was or the Parts Unknown episode was.
Right. Exactly. It was like part of the scout.
And I think that there was, and I can't remember if it was Parts Unknown or if it was No Reservations when he went to Malaysia, because we ate at the same like food hall. It's not a food hall, but it's like they have, it's like these like cafeteria, but like they're outside.
Right. Oh, cool.
Or
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just a bunch of different vendors. And I had like one of the best meals of my life.
Wow.
It's never been recreated.
Wow. Okay. That's a wreck.
Yeah. It's like if you are thinking about going to Southeast Asia, go to Malaysia, go to Georgetown and like just eat everything.
You know what? I've turned around. I'm no longer sour that you got this pick because I think it suits you much better than it would suit me. I think you're much more well traveled. I think you are a more adventurous eater. I think that this is much more, looking back, I don't think I deserve this pick. I think this is appropriate to go to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Now I'm between two things, and they are both have a similar place in my heart. As a college freshman, I was the only one on my floor, nay, my whole building, with a TiVo. I was that kid. That's what kind of started the Deebzom TV persona, if you will. Like I was the dude who recorded the shows so we could all watch them later. And I remember the two big shows that I got it for were Lost and 24. And
they're
both on the board. And I don't know which one to choose. Initially, I was thinking 24, but I think that's going to feel a little samey, you know? And if we're going with the twist of you watch it every time like it's the first time, although this will feel counterintuitive, I'm picking Lost because
that makes sense.
Those early seasons were so thrilling. And then to just, you know what? Feelings across the board are important. It's important to remember what disappointment feels like. It's important to remember what rage feels like. It's important to remember the full spectrum of human emotion in the afterlife. So for that reason, I think Lost can work for me as a Forever show.
I'd also like to say like some honorable mentions for me on this list are Jim and the Holograms. That's a big honorable mention for favorite.
Yeah. The Bear is an honorable mention for me. That'll come up in our end of year, I'm sure.
And then I would say that Sort Of, which was another Anna Breton pick, was such a good show.
Yeah.
It was really delightful. I don't know if it has been purged in the HBO Max purging of content, but if it's not, guys, check it out. It's really good. And it's like, I think the episodes are like 25 minutes long. It's so easy to watch. And it's just one of the most delightful shows I've seen this year.
The only other one that I was close to is probably, if you had picked The White Lotus, I probably would have picked in my best what Brawley picked, The Last Dance.
The Last Dance.
The MJ doc, because I think as far as documentaries go, it's one of the best.
This Is Us wouldn't have made it for you anywhere?
It could have been a Forever. It could have been a Forever, I think.
Oh my God. So it's been forever crying.
It's another spectrum of human emotion. Exactly. This was fun. So my mini season 2 draft criteria, and best I have White Lotus, and favorite I have Detroiters, and Forever I Have Lost. Shout out to Chris Burns, Anna Breton, Christian Bonda, and Matt Rogers for the assists on those.
Awesome. And in mine, I have Jane the Virgin is my best. Thank you, Ellie. This Is Us is my favorite. Thank you, Amira. And Anthony Bourdain Parts Unknown is my forever. Thank you, Angela.
Wow. Talk about female friendship. It's the theme.
Yeah.
It's the theme.
Girls rule.
Brandy, this has been another wonderful season. We're not quite done. We have one more. Mm-hmm. You know, our last episode of the year is our 2022. So check back in for that. But this was so much fun, as always. I loved all of our guests. Thank you, everyone who came on, who shared your wonderful shows, who introduced us to new shows.
Thank you guys so much.
We just keep getting these great recommendations, and I absolutely love it. And with that, I think this is a wrap on this episode and this season of TV BFFs.
Oh my goodness. This has been such a wonderful ride, everybody. Thank you so much. And guess what? We may not be releasing new episodes for a little bit, but you can still follow us on Instagram at TVBFFpodcast, or you can email us what your criteria is at TVBFFpodcast@gmail.com. And, you know, maybe we'll shout you out soon.
Yeah, reach out to us in the off season. We'll still pop up with bonus episodes, our current catch-ups. We have a couple other fun surprises. And reach out to us. Let us know your BFFs, your personal best favorite and forevers, and which six shows you'd put on your own criterias. And let us know, like, are there shows we should do deep dives on? Are there themes you want us to explore? Like, let us know. We're all ears. We love new ideas. Best idea wins. And until next time, goodbye, friends.
Bye, friends.